As we continue our study in the book of Zechariah, we're still in the 10th chapter, now ready to begin at the 5th verse. And verses 5 through 12 are the remainder of this chapter. And in these verses, we have precious promises made to the people of God. These promises extend beyond the Jewish people only. They actually refer to the spiritual Israel of God, which is the gospel church and includes all true believers. Verses 5 and 6 say, "And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them." This will be a time when they shall have God's favor and God's presence. Here the prophet gives the picture of foot soldiers overpowering the cavalry in battle. This is to show the power of God's people when God is with them. He will now strengthen them and have compassion on them. All their dignity and joy are because God has shown mercy on them. "They will be as though I had not cast them off," he says. This is the kind of favor God shows to returning, repenting sinners. They're admitted back into his fellowship, and it treats them as though they had never been rejected in the first place. "For I am the Lord their God," according to the original contract, the covenant made with their fathers. Both the southern and northern kingdoms of Israel will be restored to a position of blessing. This has its ultimate fulfillment, of course, in the church age. The reason for Israel's restoration was because of God, the covenant keeper, who reminds them of his continual commitment to them. The curses of Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68 were brought about in the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. God did fulfill those curses that he promised the people would have if they disobeyed him. But this did not nullify God's promised blessing to Israel, nor did it transfer these promises to another people. Even after they had crucified the Messiah, Peter told them they were still to be able to receive the promise. In Acts 2:39, he says, "For the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." This is because the covenant made with Abraham was still in place, and they were the people of God's promise. The gospel age is a fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. God told Abraham back in Genesis 22:18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Again in Galatians 3:16, he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to the seed which is Christ." So part of Abraham's covenant was fulfilled in Old Testament times, having to do with the possession of the literal land of Canaan and the Israelite nation, but part of the covenant was only fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Here is where all the nations of the earth could be blessed, as they united in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, according to Ephesians 4, verses 3. Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6 read, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." The gospel age, which we are now in, is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. In Acts 3, verses 24 and 25, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all thy kindreds of the earth be blessed." So this passage in Zechariah chapter 10 here shows the mechanism employed by God to bring this about. "They shall be victorious over their enemies." That's what he says in verse 5. "They will be like mighty men, who are strong in body and brave in spirit. They will be effective in their efforts. They shall, as mighty men, fight and overthrow the horsemen because the Lord is with them. Now, some may argue that they may therefore just sit still and do nothing because the Lord is with them, and who can and will do all for them. But no, God's presence with us to help us must not take the place of our own efforts to keep ourselves, help ourselves. But it should stir and encourage our own efforts. Then the horsemen will be overthrown. The preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ went forth to wage good warfare. They charged bravely because God was with them, and the horsemen who opposed them were overthrown. Where does their strength come from? It is the Lord and the power of His might by which they are able to be successful. God saves us by strengthening us and works out our happiness by working in us to do our duty. Verse 7 of chapter 10 says, "And they of Ephraim shall be like mighty men, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord." Here we see that the joy of the restored nation, when the Messiah comes, shall be very great. God will be both their strength and their song. In Him shall they be comforted and have abundant satisfaction. When we resolutely resist and overcome the evil, overcome sin, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. We are to make our children acquainted with the delights of God's ways and make the service of God pleasant to them. When they learn early to rejoice in the Lord, then they will be more apt to cling to Him. Verse 8 says, "And I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased." I will whistle for them and gather them, he says. This is when the Lord calls for them with the gospel message. This is the call for salvation given through the Savior while He was on earth, and given by the apostles and prophets as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and given today by those who would spread the gospel message anywhere on earth. The call is being made. Now is the time to gather. This gathering is done in the church built by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Verse 9 says, "And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again." Here is another summary given, stating that as God had previously scattered them in the foreign lands, He would bring them back to populate the kingdom of the Messiah. Now this is ultimately fulfilled in the church of the New Testament age. "I will sow them among the people," He says. Their scattering will not be like scattering of seed in the ground, not to bury it, but to increase it. The Jews, who came from all parts of the world to worship at Jerusalem, took from there the gospel of light and fire to their own countries. As the Jews in Acts 2, and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. And in their own synagogues, in the different cities of the Gentiles, the Jews were the first to receive the apostles and their preachings. Thus, when God scattered them among the people, He took care that they should remember Him and make His name well known in distant lands. And as they maintained the knowledge of God among them, as He who had revealed Himself in the Old Testament, they would be more ready to receive the knowledge of Christ as He revealed Himself in the New Testament. Verse 10 says, "And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them." This prophecy has its fulfillment in the spiritual gathering in of precious souls out of bondage, worse than Egypt or Assyria, the bondage of sin with its everlasting punishment. But this is a promise of release from that bondage of sin, and a promise to bring them into the glorious liberty of the children of God. All of the land of Canaan is theirs, even Gilead and Lebanon. But we may ask, how shall a people so scattered be brought together? The difficulties seem to be insurmountable, but they shall be overcome as effectively as those that lay in the way of their deliverance out of Egypt into Canaan. Verse 11, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and I will smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. They will pass through the sea of trouble, as when the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. The troubled waters preventing entry into the kingdom of heaven will dry up as the Jordan River did to make way for Israel's passage into that good land which God had given them. Does Assyria's pride stand in the way of their deliverance? He who can smite the waves of the sea shall bring the pride of Assyria down. Does the scepter of Egypt oppose the will of God? It will pass away. When the gospel church was to be gathered out of the nations by the preaching of the gospel, great opposition was given to it by the enraged powers of earth and hell, but by the divine power of God, the church became mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and the conversion and salvation of thousands. At the presence of the Lord, the Red Sea fled and the Jordan was driven back. Verse 12 says, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. The people of Israel will be messengers of the Messiah in his kingdom. As God strengthens us, we must activate ourselves to walk in all the duties of the Christian life. To us, to live must be in Christ. We must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we may not receive the strength and grace of God in vain. And this brings to a close the 10th chapter of Zechariah.